This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Good afternoon. I feel so blessed this morning. I really do. I feel so blessed because the weather is so perfect outside. And last night, I had my 35th high school reunion and reconnected with people that I hadn't seen in so long. And I think some of them are listening right now. I'm going to give a phone number right now. And if somebody wants to call in during this hour show, we'd love to hear from you. We have a wonderful guest with us today. And I'm going to invite him on in just a second. The phone number, if you want to write it down, is 888-995-5552. Again, the phone number is 888-995-5552. You know, last night when I was at the reunion, I mentioned that I had a show, or somebody mentioned I had a show, and they said, well, what's it about? And so I said, well, it's called The Sue Freeze Show, and it's about seeking passion, purpose, and connection. And then they said, well, okay, what does that mean? And so what I say is that, you know, we have positive and negative things that happen to us, and we have a choice whether to react or respond. Our decision will create a perspective in life and what we make of our life lessons. Wisdom comes from being honest to ourselves and others, listening to and applying the things that we and others have been through. Take a chance, share your life experiences to help change or mold a person's life, or plant a seed. Dare to believe and make a difference, to live your life on purpose for a purpose. And that's what my show is kind of about. And every week we have a guest that comes on, and we never know where it's really going to go because God's in control. And so we start with explaining a little bit about the guest's background and a little bio just to get you an idea of the person that you're going to be listening to. And then from there, we never know where it's going to go. So today on the show, we have Chris Duncan, who's the CEO of Convene, and I've had other guests from Convene on my show. Prior to leading Convene, Chris was founder and CEO of Regal Technology Partners. His experience there included three successful startup companies with two partners. In addition, he started, built, and sold Central X Exchange, an internet B2B exchange for high-end technology equipment. In 2003, Chris sold majority interest in Regal after being called by God to lead and grow Convene. He's been a member and a raving fan of Convene since 1998. Chris is passionate about business and helping leaders live the abundant life God has planned for them. His life work is to help Christian CEOs and business owners become better leaders and achieve new levels of success and significance in their business, personal and spiritual life. Chris graduated from the University of Southern California with a BS in Business Administration, emphasis in entrepreneurship. He and his family are active members at Saddleback Church. I visited that church. It's a wonderful church. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Sue. Great to be with you.
It is great to have you with me. I just had you with me on Wednesday at our Convene meeting, and you were visiting, as you probably do quite often, to different groups. And I bet all the groups aren't the same, are they?
No, they're not. It's really great how they each have their own unique style and personality and lots of commonality, lots of common purpose, and yet they are very unique.
And it's a God thing because God puts people together.
Absolutely.
And we all, what do they say, iron sharpens iron?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so it was a pretty deep meeting we had, and there was a lot of issues. And it's wonderful to be able to come together as a group with the safety of knowing that you can be honest and be yourself and explain what fears or trials and tribulations you're going through and know that you're not going to be judged, but you're going to be walked with and guided.
Yeah, it's so rare, especially in the business world. You know, we typically have pretty high barriers up because we're worried about people kind of taking advantage of some weakness. And so it's such a rare place to be able to be totally authentic and real and still get great business ideas and the competence to help you build your company.
And I know very well how difficult it is to run a company. And it's difficult because there's so many different moving parts going on all at the same time with the amount of personalities you have and then, you know, the other companies that you're dealing with, your competition, the legal aspect, making sure your cash flow is going. And it's just nice when you're a leader to have some place to go. And I think sometimes we just, if we allow it to happen, we can get isolated. And in isolation, it's a terrible thing.
That's for sure.
And so coming together, and, you know, that's why he says, love me first and love thy neighbor as thyself, and everything else will come to pass. It'll all come together. And isn't that, I mean, that's just so true. I found in my life that that's very true.
Yeah.
Can you share a story of a trial from someone that's, you know, that you know, and to show or explain how God worked in this person's life?
Sure. There's one that has kind of come to mind. It's a great story. For confidentiality reasons, I'll call the person Larry.
Okay.
So started probably 4 or 5 years ago when Larry joined Convene. He came in. He's an elder at his church, very godly man, and had a nice, successful company. I think they were doing about $8 million a year in revenue at the time. And his goal was to build it to $100 million in sales and then sell it and go into full-time ministry. And so we kind of said, okay, great, well, let's go. You know, everybody comes in wherever they are, and we just want to take them, and we're all on this journey together. And so pretty soon he starts, he's one of these fast learner guys. So at the time, he's working like 65 hours a week. His wife and kids are barely seeing him. And so he's not real happy about that and yet feels called to build this company. And so he's kind of in the middle there, and he also feels called to ministry. So he's wrestling with all that stuff. Well, he jumps in and he starts eating up the materials and bringing issues and getting counsel. And next thing you know, God's just doing this wonderful work in his life. And he kind of gets this pretty radical paradigm shift that, oh my gosh, I don't have to sell my business to go into ministry. I already am in ministry. It's this idea that no matter what we do, whether, you know, we're a bus driver, a school teacher, or a nurse, or a stay-at-home mom, or a CEO, we're all in full-time ministry. And so he really got that and started to apply that. Well, another thing that was so great is he really started to pick up some of the delegation concepts and really started to learn some of the tactics and strategies to delegate more effectively, but he also came to trust God more. So, you know, some of this stuff is just competency-based, but some of it is character and spiritual issues where we know we need to do things, but we just can't because we don't have it within us. And so long and the short of it is he came to trust God more, learned some great stuff, and he actually got to a place where instead of working 65 hours a week, he's working 40 hours a week. So we're all celebrating with him, and he's kind of rejoicing that he's home, having more time with his wife. He's doing homework with his kids, which he's loving, they're loving, and, of course, his wife is loving the extra help at home, too. And he keeps going like this. Well, the fun part is he grew his company from $8 million to $11 million to $16 million while working less. And so you got to love God's economy because that doesn't really make sense, right? You know, we think of that and we go, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Sounds wonderful to me.
Yeah, exactly. And the neat thing is that not only was his life so much better, but actually the people at work were too, because he was raising them up, giving them more responsibility, more training, more development. So they actually had better opportunities themselves. They're more fulfilled. And things were just going really well. So we're all rejoicing with him at you know, the doubling of the company with less work, all these great benefits. And next thing you know, the bottom falls out of this economy.
Mm-hmm.
This person's in an industry that fell off 70%.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's like quantum. And so he's trying to wrestle with this, and he's, you know, doing what he can to love and serve the people as he's trying to manage this thing and steward it, right? We have the stewardship responsibility to keep the company going and employ people and give them opportunity, do great work, and at the same time, you got to have money to do that, right? You have to earn a profit. So, you know, we're doing that while we're trying to love people, as you started out with, you know, love the Lord and love others as yourself,
mm-hmm.
in that context. And so he's doing this, and we're seeing him month after month come into our Convene meetings. And he just seemed to be behind the curve on it. And, you know, we asked him one day, he said, hey, Larry, how you doing? He says, oh, things are good. You know, it's hard here, but... It was so interesting because about three of us in the room kind of got this look like, he's a bit in denial on this, isn't he?
Wow.
And so we kind of sat him down and said, can we ask you a few more questions? And long and the short of it was, he was really kind of allowing himself to be in denial. And so we all helped him kind of come up with a strategy to get ahead of it and, you know, get things right-sized and promote some people to some more authority. And unfortunately, some people did have to lose their position. There just wasn't cash flow for that. But through it, you know, he was really seeking to honor God and just doing great things. Well, it was interesting, and I'm not sure if you ever have this happen, but I think many of us do at times, it's we take on too much responsibility. And so one of the things that held him back was he was actually playing savior.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He had in his mind that he couldn't cut the people because he was responsible for them and he was their savior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is responsible for them to a level, but mm-hmm. obviously God's responsible for them,
right.
Not him. And so when he kind of got that truth and really lived it, it allowed him to restructure his company, you know, treat people well who stayed and give them a great opportunity, and then at the same time, you know, be a blessing to those who unfortunately did lose their jobs, but do it in a way that was honoring to them and helping them find new gigs. So all that to say, I just love the story because it's a perfect example of, in and of ourselves, we can get caught by our blind spots, kind of thinking things that aren't real, and yet when the body comes around us and helps us, it's amazing what God can do.
It is amazing what God can do, and you know what? It's so much, it's wonderful to be able to come alongside somebody, but also, I mean, this just happened on Wednesday with me. Eleanor, you were holding on and you hung up. I would love for you to call back if you can, because we would like to take your call if you can call us back. Sorry about that, Chris. You're listening to The Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5. And it was wonderful because, you know, it's so easy for me to say, you know, I can handle it, you know, brush myself off, keep going, and not let anything, you know, get through because, you know, as you become leader and you have all this responsibility, it's very difficult to say, you know what, I need help right now, you know, and it's wonderful to be able to be in a place that you can do that.
Yeah. And really so rare. And it takes courage, and you did a great job, you know, just kudos to you on Wednesday because, you know,
I don't know,
you're wrestling with some big stuff, and yet you came and were very real about things going on kind of in the company as well as in other parts of your life, and I just was very pleased to see you kind of really walking the talk and putting it out there to get help and be authentic and transparent.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that encouragement, and I say that and because I want to encourage others that are listening that, you know what, you don't have to go through things alone. You can always find people that are going to tell you what you want to hear, but you want to choose people wisely. You want to get Christian counsel. You want to find people that are going to really hold you accountable and really speak truth. Eleanor, I'm so glad you're back on the line. Chris, we have a lady on the line. Her name is Eleanor, and she was, I believe, laid off like 3 years ago, and I have no idea what she wants to say, but Eleanor, if you can ask a specific question so that we can guide what we want to say to you, that would be really helpful. So, Ellen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
As a CEO, my problem is that I was laid off from mortgage lending.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't been able to find work in my field for 30 years. And I cannot find administrative assistant work, even though I know how to do it. Because I don't have the title of administrative assistant. So they're only looking for my mortgage lending, and I have more to offer. How can I get a job?
Eleanor, that's a very difficult question to answer, and you're not alone. I'm sure you know that. I know that me as an employer, the talent pool for me right now is so extreme. I have piles upon piles of employee applications that are way overqualified for the positions that I might have available, and it's because there is this shortness of jobs available. Chris, do you have anything to offer Eleanor?
Well, Eleanor, I'm sorry to hear of that. Three
yes.
years is a really
long time.
Really long time. I can only imagine what that how that has affected kind of you personally and your family and everything. So I'm sorry that you've been in that place. Unfortunately, that whole industry, that's one of those industries that's down so far. I think it is really hard when you, because people, there, as Sue said, there's so much, so many people out there looking for work, and many people are willing to take things, you know, kind of less than what they've done in the past just because they need the work, which is great, and I applaud them for that. It sounds like maybe that's what you're considering as well. I mean,
yes.
I'm sure you've heard this, but the whole network idea is absolutely huge. you know, just leveraging relationships and networking more and more and more. And maybe a spin on that that you don't hear very much is actually volunteering to help. So we have, at Convene, we had somebody recently who's a friend of one of the people who works there, and this is a very, you know, successful person in the past and just can't find a job. And this person came to one of our people and said, look, I'm going crazy. I need to work. I want to work. I want to be a contributor. Can I just come and work for you for free? Can I just come and get some experience, see what you guys are doing, and just help out? I love what you're doing. Can I just come and help? And I thought, what a great idea, because he can still be looking for a job in the meantime, obviously. He's not going to volunteer the rest of his life. But it's this idea of, if you can find a role that would kind of be in something of a sweet spot passion area for you, that would get you introduced to people that you might not otherwise have the opportunity to meet, who knows where that could lead.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Unfortunately, if I don't find something soon, I'm going to be homeless. So that's the spot. I use my savings, my 401. So I'm like in desperate mode right now.
That's a very, very difficult position to be in. Very difficult. And I'm sorry you're having to face that.
Well, keep me in my prayers, please.
Okay, we will do that. We will do that, Eleanor. And you're not alone. It doesn't help you at all to know that. But there's a lot of people struggling right now. So if someone's listening and needs someone like Eleanor, then, you know, maybe Eleanor, we could get your information or something. I don't know. I mean, I always want to reach out and help. So if there's a way of doing that, that would be great. So
thank you so much.
Okay. God bless you, bye. Eleanor. So, Chris, that is a sad place to be, I tell you. And, you know, it is a big responsibility, and I liked what you said about this gentleman thinking that he's the savior. I've never thought of me as a savior, but I feel like I'm kind of the mother hen, and I kind of, you know, want to take care of my, you know, the employees. And, you know, it's hard for me sometimes, because sometimes I have to do that tough thing. And, you know, sometimes it's amazing what I find is that, you know, sometimes when things don't fit, when a person really doesn't fit, the best thing to do is to release them till they can find something where they can fit.
Right.
And that it's a relief for both parties, but yet both parties are trying to hang in there and trying to make it work, and, you know, the round peg and the square hole and vice versa. And it's amazing how, you know, we've never looked back and said, you know, we shouldn't have done that. We just waited too long.
Yeah, it's interesting how, and I've done that way too many times, where I think I'm doing the person a favor by keeping them. And, of course, they're not as happy because they're not succeeding in the role like they want to and are capable of when they're in the right role. And we're not as satisfied with what's going on from a performance perspective at work. I mean, they may be a great person, but just not a great fit for the role. And so it's this interesting frustration and stress that occurs. And somehow in my mind, I actually believe that I'm helping that person. And, you know, maybe in the short run I am, because it's a rough job market. But the reality is there's other ways to help that person really find their sweet spot and be much more joyful, much greater contributor, and you know, frankly, they usually end up making more money along the way too.
And Eleanor's listening, and it's probably hard for her to hear, but in the long run, it's probably it was better. You know, it is better 9 times out of 10 to do that, so that they can find something that is more suitable or where they can succeed better and feel more significant in their role.
Yeah, and this is the part that's probably hardest about leadership, frankly. It's the people part when you have to make those tough decisions, because we don't want to. I mean, we want people to succeed and thrive, and we want to help people, you know, buy homes and raise families and put them through college and all those wonderful things. And at the same time, sometimes they're not a great fit, or sometimes the bottom just falls out of the market. Like in the mortgage industry, Eleanor probably got released for no fault of her own.
Uh-huh.
That's the hardest part.
That is.
You know,
that
when the bottom falls out, it's this interesting thing of, we want to hold on and we want to keep people employed, and at the same time we have to acknowledge the reality that, hey, the bottom fell out. If we don't do something, nobody's going to have a job left. This opportunity will be gone for everyone. And so, you know, Jesus was full of grace and truth, always accepting people, always loving, and at the same time dealing with reality, dealing with the truth of things. And so it is that mix. It is so hard, much more art than science. And frankly, I've gotten it wrong way too many times. But you know, through prayer and great counsel, hopefully less and less.
Mm-hmm. You recently took your family to the Philippines.
I did.
Tell us about some of the things you observed and got to do there.
Well, you know, it was an amazing time. We had never been to Asia as a family. I have two teenage boys, and my wife and I went. And we went with actually three convene team people from different groups. Two of them were from Chicago. One of them was from Orange County. And we all met up in the Philippines. They had been there before. And they've got some really interesting business as ministry stuff going on there, really to try and help the lost and the least.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were looking for a way to serve for a couple of weeks this summer. And we thought, let's go and do that. So we started actually by meeting up with some pastor friends of ours down in Mindanao, which is a really interesting place. You know, there's three islands. It's the southernmost island in the Philippines, or three main islands, I should say. There's actually 7,000. Anyhow, we met up with some pastor friends of ours and stayed with them for a few days, and these people are just amazing. I mean, I was so impressed with the love and the sacrifice and the humility of these servants of Christ in the Philippines. You know, they're reaching out to people who just are so poor. In fact, many, many are homeless there and live on the streets. And, you know, in America we have that, but in the Philippines it's more the norm.
Right.
It's just unbelievable the amount of poverty and brokenness there, and of course with that comes lots of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so very encouraged by what our friends Nas and Mina were doing down there, help rescuing sexually abused kids off the street and giving them an education and, you know, counseling and a great church home. So very, very encouraged there, as well as a bunch of that leadership stuff they're doing. But one of the things that was most impactful was the water is not really drinkable in the area they lived in. Now, they live in a pretty nice area. They're not living in on the street. But even the water, there's so many bacteria in the water that you have to use bottled water to brush your teeth, like something that we just take so for granted. And this is a developed area. Again, this is not a poor area of the Philippines. I was amazed at that. So it was really good for me in that first part of the trip, just to kind of see a couple of God's servants out there just so humbly serving and sacrificing and serving tribal leaders and just loving people in really hard places and circumstances.
Was this the first time you had ever experienced that, Chris?
You know, we've been to the Dominican Republic before,
mm-hmm.
and lots of poverty there, and we've been to Mexico before, but nothing on the scale of the Philippines.
Huh.
And, you know, it could have been, it may be as rampant in some places, in those places I just mentioned, as the Philippines, but we just happened to go to those places in the Philippines where it was, you know, all over the place.
So, your two sons, how did this affect them?
Yeah, that was great. Because, you know, we are so in a bubble, living in Orange County in California and, you know, just being born in America.
Uh-huh.
You know, we didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, absolute grace by the Lord to live in America because we just have so much opportunity here. And I think it was great for the kids to get to see that. And so one of the most impactful parts was we went back up to Manila, flew back up to Manila, and then went to a city a couple hours outside of Manila and connected up with this ministry that these convene guys had been working with for a while. It's called Frontline Ministries, and they do lots of great work there. But one of the things they do is they rescue these kids off the street from these just horrible conditions. And they, you know, give them a place to stay in this orphanage slash home, which is just so full of the love of Christ. It was amazing. They give them, they actually have a school. They have 150 kids at this wonderful Christian school. And so these kids get to now get educated. And then, you know, there's an opportunity on the backside to get trained and employed. And so, anyhow, one of the things that was so profound for not only the kids but for my wife and I was we got to spend a lot of times with the kids in this home, the FTC home. They call it Face the Children, kind of this orphanage slash home.
That must have been a wonderful experience.
Oh, my gosh. These kids are so precious. And, it, you know, in other times, I've heard the stories of the sexual abuse, the physical abuse, just the horrible living conditions and all that stuff, and it was always, you know, you see somebody and you go, oh my gosh, that's so sad, and you pray for them, and, you know, we've been to AIDS orphanages before and things that really pull at your heart. But what made this so different for the kids as well as for us was over the course of, you know, 10 days, we spent a lot of time with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so we got to know their stories, and they became like brothers and sisters in Christ to us, really relationally. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear that, oh my gosh, this girl here used to be a 2-year-old that her father would use to beg with and almost died because she was so malnourished. And then you see this bright little 4-year-old, you know, lifting her arms up for you to pick her up, and she's just full of joy. And you're just like going, oh my gosh, that's just beautiful what the Lord can do.
So you gave to them, but you got much more.
Yeah.
Chris, we will be back with more of the Sue Free Show and Chris Duncan, CEO of Convene, on the 99.5 KKLA.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies, like yours, choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. To schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Free Show.
Well, we're back, Chris. I have someone on the phone right now. His name is Monty, and I knew him in high school, and he wants to ask a question, and I'm going on a limb here by letting him on the air. But I'm going to let him on, so, Monty, you be nice.
Okay, I will.
Oh, there you are.
Here I am. Well, I'll tell you, you know, I was there with the 35th reunion people last night, and I met Susie there, and we got to talking, and she said two things that absolutely floored me, and one, that she was part of the 99.5 family, and that she had her own show. And then we were talking, and I don't remember how we got to that subject, but she revealed the fact that she's the termite lady. And my jaw just about hit the floor, because I've probably written that number down a couple of times on my way to work in the morning. So, because your advertisements are on other Christian stations as well.
Yes.
What a overall just fantastic, memorable experience. And then of course I got to know what your show's about, and I think that's awesome as well. The subject matter is business, right? It's mostly you have business guests on your show.
I have different guests on, and sometimes it's counseling to help with marriage and parenting and just our own personal issues. It's with God. I mean, I'm just let God lead. It's His show, not my show. And it's just a wonderful thing. And Monty, your mouth did almost hit the floor, and I just thought it was so funny last night. I just got a kick out of that. Are you there still, or are you gone? Oh, he hung up. Okay. So, Chris, we're back with you, and it was funny last night. It was really funny. And it's just nice to know that there's people that, you know, hear the show. And it's nice to know that I have people from my high school when, you know, my walk was different in high school than it is now. As for so many people, I would think that, that's probably true. And to go back to a reunion or go back to the people that you knew way back when and see where people are now, it's really a fun experience. And it's emotional. I realized that last night is I was writing down things and things about, you know, in high school, I know a lot of people listening experienced high school. And in high school, you know, there's so many things going on. You know, we're growing up and we're going through life lessons. You know that poem about the sandbox? I learned everything I needed to know for life in the sandbox. And high school, it's that too, because you've got getting your driver's license and what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And oh my gosh, am I going to go to college and all these things? And then to come back 35 years later and see where people are and see how they've grown up. Some didn't grow up, but most did. And it's really fascinating. But what I found was more than anything is my whole sincere desire last night and tonight, because we're going to get together again tonight, is to get to know people on a different level, a deeper level. Because really, you know, we can put masks on and, you know, think everything is okay, and we look like everything is okay. And again, that's why things like your program of Convene and God putting you in that position, which is a huge position, and the thought of success, people identify and define success differently. Everyone has a different definition of what success is. And so if somebody just took the time right now and even thought about what's success to you, and I thought about that, and I'm thinking, you know, it's not making more money. It's I want to make a difference in this world. I want to be significant. I want to have significance. When I die, I want people to talk about things that I might have done, you know, things that I did that helped change a life.
Yeah, that really mattered.
That really matter. And that's what you're doing, Chris.
Yeah, I heard Bob Beal, who's a pretty well-known consultant in Christian circles. He was original board member of Focus on the Family, and I think he's still on there. And anyhow, I remember listening to him once, and what he said was, he was asking somebody who's wise, and he says, what matters to you? Bob Beal was asking this person, what matters to you? And this person's response was, less and less.
Oh, wow. That's big.
Yeah. That's profound. If you really allow that to think, you know.
That's deep.
As we mature and age and draw closer to the Lord, we realize, oh my gosh.
Yeah, what matters to you, less and less. Right. That's really deep. So what's something you see in the business world that gives you hope?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing going on right now in the business world. There, God is kind of at work doing a bunch of great things, helping people really kind of get that we're supposed to be kind of full-time disciples and not just show up at Sunday and then put on a different mask or leave our faith backpack at the office door and walk in on Monday. And an interesting story came up, which kind of says the downside and the need, but then there's some other really good stuff going on. So one of my friends was talking with some people at his church, and this was a younger guy, and he was talking to a younger guy, and he says, you know, this second guy was looking for wisdom. So he's talking to these different business owners. So he actually talked to 20 different business owners at this church that they went to, and they were asking him, he was asking him about how their faith kind of plays itself out in work, how does it integrate in their work and that. And what was really interesting for me is 18 of the 20 did not really see a correlation between their faith and their work, other than, you know, walk with integrity, kind of do some stuff. And what was interesting to me is I know who the pastor of that church is, and this pastor has solid theology. I mean, he would know that everybody's in full-time ministry, and it's not this kind of sacred secular divide that we we conjure up, or that a lot of Christendom has promoted over the years. You know, there is no missionaries at the top, and then pastors, and then church workers, and then business people. And, you know, there is no hierarchy in God's kingdom. We're all called to be kind of following Christ in full time for Him. So it was so sad and so amazing to me that 18 out of the 20 in this Bible teaching great church would believe that. And it just shows the need that we have at Convene for people to really connect their life, because, you know, you said your show is about, you know, passion, purpose, and connection. Well, if you work 40, 50, 60 hours a week and you don't get the connection with God and mm-hmm. how He wants you to live and bless people in that context, you can't possibly have the passion and the purpose that you would desire or that He would desire for us. And so on that front, it, you know, it was kind of discouraging, but the good news is that we see God work at work all over the country as well. You know, people are getting it. There's some Christians who believe, I need to talk about Jesus all the time. And every other word out of their mouth is praise the Lord and all that good stuff. Now, some of those people, that's probably really appropriate for, because they're really living authentic, transparent lives. But boy, there's a lot of other ones who, and listen, I'm a fellow struggler, so I'm not casting judgment on anybody. But there's lots of vocal Christians who maybe would be better served to not be so vocal until they get their own house in order a little bit more.
Right.
And that is just so hard. And so one of the things that I'm just pleased at is I'm seeing this movement of people really wanting to excel at work in a way that honors God. So it's like working as worship. Instead of, you know, working for a paycheck or, you know, working for ego or pride or prestige, whatever that happens to be, it's, you know what? The Lord has me here. This is an amazing opportunity. I get to do excellent work, which in and of itself is great. You know, work was given to us before the fall. It's not this cursed thing and, oh, you have to work now. It's, you know, it's harder now, but work was given to us before the fall. And so it's a blessing to be able to work. And so people are approaching it more like that and really going at it with excellence. And, of course, when they do, then people are like, oh, I think I want to hear what they have to say about their faith and their life, because I see them living in a way that is very appealing. So that's really encouraging to me, that people are kind of getting the whole excellence along with the sharing Jesus part. You know, it's the Great Commission, the Great Commandment to love, wrapped up with this work as unto the Lord. And for me, that's just so exciting to see.
It is very exciting to see. And, you know, sometimes I get so caught up in the day's tasks that, well, first I have an issue with just be still and know.
Right.
I have a hard time with that because I'm on the go and I'm energetic and I, you know, I never stop. My husband says I make coffee nervous. So I don't know if I make coffee nervous, but I'm just a very energetic person normally. Well, right now I'm going through struggles because I fractured my back. So I'm not able to do all the things that I used to be able to do. And I used to really pride myself at being able to pick up that case of Snapple at Costco, you know, and it was a workout for me to go to the market, you know, because I could lift everything myself. And now I have to be this helpless person that's asking for someone to help me. And it's just not a place where I'm used to being. And, you know, it's a life lesson, God lesson, and it's teaching me humility, but it's also teaching me to be still. And it's the most difficult thing in the world for me. Another thing is people say, you're such a perfectionist, and I always correct them because I'm not. I just strive for excellence. And we all should be striving for excellence. If you're going to do something, do it right. And if you're going to do something, do it to the best of your ability. And I don't expect everybody to be the same, you know, in my workplace. Not everybody is at the same level with everything that they do. But if they're giving it 100%, that's all I can ask. And that's all God asks. Give it your all. Give Him your all.
And then it's our responsibility as leaders to make sure that those people are in the right roles, that actually giving at their best creates these amazing results.
Because they want to feel that they are significant, mm-hmm. that they are valued, so that they can be all they can be. And it's so wonderful. I see some you know, things written here, seeking to do excellent work and do business based on God's principles, so people see a real difference. And the other day I was in my rush, and a gentleman that works for me came up and he goes, Sue, can you stop for a second? Because I just need you to pray for me. And I'm like, wow, okay, let's pray. And you know what? I felt so good. I didn't get what I had to get done right that minute, but it didn't matter. Because what really matters is people.
Yep.
What matters is that, you know, if someone's struggling, we're called to walk alongside that person and meet them right where they are. And people listening right now, I've heard so many times people, you know, I'll say, you know, do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe in God? And they'll say, oh, no, because I like to have my bottle of beer at the end of the day, or I like to get drunk, or, you know, those types of things. And I'll say, you know what? God meets you right where you are. And you don't have to change before you receive the Lord, because the Lord will help you.
Right.
Change. He'll help you and mold you and do what you need to do. He'll walk alongside you and he'll help. My burden is light. That's what I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all really good, isn't it?
Yeah, and we get to carry each other's burdens. I think that's another interesting thing. I appreciate what you said earlier about your back problem is causing you to get to a new place of humility and asking for help and not being quite so self-sufficient.
Right.
Which is really a healthy thing long-term. It doesn't necessarily feel good in the short run.
Does not feel good right now.
Yeah, but yeah. It's interesting because God uses the body to comfort us, so, you know, and to help others, right? That's kind of what the whole deal is about here, him with skin on.
Right.
And it's so interesting as leaders, lots of times we really want to help and bless others, and so we want to come along people who are struggling and do that. And yet, as leaders, how hard is it for us to admit we're struggling and reach out for help?
Very difficult. I see that with pastors a lot. You know, there's so many hurting, needing people. And pastors, you know, they always say, pray for your pastor, pray for your pastor. And, you know, anybody that's in leadership, you know, because I happen to be in leadership and you are too. And sometimes it's like you just say, I can get through this. I'll plow through this. I can get it. You know, I can make this happen. And you know what? Right now, I think God is really showing me that, you know what, I don't need to do this by myself. And I have a support structure because he's given me that. Convene, I'm involved with Convene. And that's something that kind of just happened, but not really. It happened because God made it happen. And we just have to listen and hear his voice. And we have to prepare. I believe that we have to prepare. We have to do our part. And if we do our part, God always comes through and does his.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the be still. I love in Exodus where the Egyptians are coming out. They're at the Red Sea. Moses is standing there. He's got all these people around him. Everybody's freaking out. The Egyptians are about to close in on him. And then Moses, in great faith, says, stand firm and you'll see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And it's that, oh my gosh, stand firm, stand still. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. And this is before the Red Sea's parted, of course. And so all these people are closing in on him. And then it's not long after that, it's like two verses after that, and the Lord says, okay, why are you standing there? Let's get going. Start walking. And it is in that order. It's like, okay, let me seek the Lord, let me submit, and then I'll get the direction and move on. But so often I'll get so busy and get so on my agenda that I don't want to stop and be still enough to really hear him. And, of course, that's when I get myself into trouble, and it's not much fun.
And, you know, some of these lessons take more than one time. You know, sometimes I feel like I have to be taught more than one time. And I told the Lord this time, you know, I really want to get it this time because I don't want to be here again. You know, I just really want to be a good, you know, student and really get this life lesson down so that I don't have to go through this again.
Yeah.
But so many times, you know, I don't know, we seem to be stubborn. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, it is interesting because I often pray that prayer too. Lord, help me learn what I'm supposed to learn this time.
Yeah, so I can move on.
I don't really want to revisit this.
Exactly.
And yet sometimes in the back of my head, not so much these days, but early on in my walk with Christ, I thought, if I get this, then things are going to be smooth. And then I'd get through that, and then I'd think, okay, once I get this down, life's going to be. And it's almost this Pollyanna view of Christianity. And obviously it was wrong, but I was, you know, young and naive in the faith and just trying to make my way. And so this whole idea of, yeah, we're called to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so as soon as I get through this struggle and learn what I'm supposed to learn and hopefully grow in my relationship with the Lord and grow in my character, there's another one going to be not too far behind it. So instead of, like, getting overly stressed on this stuff, just know, look, this is normal. Just seek the Lord, humble yourself, get into the Word, get in with the body of Christ, and move forward.
I was just thinking of, you know, I always try to put myself in someone driving their car right now and listening. And by the way, this is the Sue Free Show, 99.5 KKLA, if you just tuned in. And I'm picturing somebody driving in their car going, well, gosh, why would I want to go there if that's what's going to happen? You know, if I'm just going to have, you know, like the story of Job, you know, where there's issue after issue after issue, you know, do I really want to go down that road? But we're going through it regardless or not. The hope is that we have God there to protect us and guide us and, you know, be there for us as our Savior and our Heavenly Father.
Well, exactly. The reality is it's pay me now or pay me later. I mean, we think that as a non-believer, we're not going to have problems. If we stay away from that Christian stuff, because there's some hard things in Christendom at times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, walking with Christ can be hard. Well, guess what? Walking without Christ can be harder.
Right.
I mean, it's this idea of when you think of the brokenness and how we're all broken and dysfunctional at some level, right? I mean, we've grown up in the human race, and since the fall, everyone's been that way. So you have imperfect people raising imperfect people, interacting with imperfect people, and you get lots of consequences that the Lord never designed. But when you have the Lord who's living in you as the Holy Spirit, and you're, you know, kind of dwelling in the Word and learning and growing in His principles, and then you have His people with you, life is so much more, what's the word? It's joyful. There's so much more peace in it. Not necessarily easy, for sure, but peace and joy and purpose in the midst. It really is unfathomable, because when I look at, you know, non-believers who are going through family struggles and, you know, out of job, you know, who knows what, lots of what life throws at you, it's like, oh my gosh, how much harder would that be without the body of Christ and without the Spirit?
That's true. And you know, I always say the Bible is the rule book for life. You know, I coached soccer with my kids when they were young, and I just remember that I wrote a poem, and I lost the poem, and I wish I still had it because it was so true, all the lessons that are learned with anything that we're going through. And with soccer, it's like they had their personal skills that they needed. You know, they needed to know the game. They needed to know the rules. They needed to know how to get to where they needed to go and what it's going to take to get there. And the Bible tells us those things. It tells us what He wants for our lives. He tells us who we are. Who we are. That's a big one.
Mm.
You know, we're not awful. We're beautiful, and we're washed clean, white as snow, and that we are worthy. I think that's the biggest lie of the devil, is unworthiness. Because we've done something wrong, okay, and we beat ourselves up. We're our worst enemy when it comes to that, because we have the self-talk that goes on all the time, and we're saying, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Why'd I do that? And, oh, I'm such a terrible person. And we beat ourselves up over and over and over again, and the Lord is there saying, no, I made you. You're beautiful, you know. And the other thing is that we never arrive. It's a journey, and that journey is so wonderful.
Yeah.
And I forget about that it's a journey. That we don't arrive, you know, we never make it.
Right.
And that's wonderful. Well, we're almost done with our show, and I'm so disappointed we can't just keep going.
Well, it's been very fun to be with you, for sure.
So is there anything lastly, we don't have much time, so any last moment talk that you would want to say, anything you'd want to, wisdom you'd want to partake?
Well, you know, one thing I'd love to share is just kind of a fun story of what God's been teaching me recently. And we got back from the Philippines. It was a 2-week trip, and you know how that goes. You prepare a lot ahead of time, so you're way too busy, and then you're gone, and then you come back, and you're way too busy catching up. And we're in the middle of our annual strategic planning, and just got lots of irons in the fire. And so I was starting to feel a bit stressed recently. And one of the things I've been doing is reading my Bible on the iPad, trying to get used to that thing. Do I want to go electronic fully or not? And it's, you know, been journaling, doing that. And I've been in Luke, and it was about a week or so ago, where I was in the story of the triumphal entry, where Jesus is going into Jerusalem, and, you know, he says to the disciples, hey, go in, get me a donkey that's never, or a colt that's never been ridden, bring it here. If they ask, here's what you tell them. And they're like, oh, okay, fine. So they go do it. Of course, they find the donkey. The people ask. They tell him exactly what he told them to tell him, and great, he gets on the donkey and goes on. And I thought, you know what, that is so cool. God is so faithful. Before we ever ask, before we even enter the circumstance, he's prepared all these things for us. And so that was really good. And then I'm kind of feeling a little more stressed and just kind of going through life 2, 3, 4 days later. And I thought, you know what, I need to really just take some time. And so I got out my old, you know, my paper Bible with all the notes in the margins and got out my journal. And I flip open to the spot that the bookmark was on. And again, I haven't been in there for months because I've been doing my iPad Bible. So I flip it open, and it's in Mark, and it's like the exact same place. It's
wow.
A triumphal entry. And I thought, you know what? Lord, you are so cool. I mean, A, it was true the first time, but B, you really want to make sure I get this so that I'm not living in the stress of the unknown and the what ifs and that anxious state of I can just rest. I can be at rest and relax in God's grace and provision. And we all can.
And we all can. And that's the end of this. So, well, it's been great, Chris, having you on our show. Appreciate your insight and your input. I thank all of you for listening. And come back and visit me again next Saturday, 4 to 5, Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5. Dare to believe and you are forgiven. Isn't that wonderful?
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services, the benefits specialist. Denon Simpson saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Wish, A American Self-Storage, the Four Square Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefit specialist.
Springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.